Good morning. If you have a Bible, if you would please open to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at a text there to begin our lesson in just a few moments. We appreciate your presence here today. It's good to be together once again. We've had an excellent past week. Our gospel meeting was just superb. And if you weren't able to be here for some of those lessons, I would encourage you to either log on to the website and listen to the audio there or to obtain a CD or a tape. I think you'll find great benefit from doing so. We enjoyed getting to meet Lawrence and heard that he had a safe trip back, and we certainly appreciated the week and have been edified by being able to come together each night throughout the week and to open God's Word and to find better how we can please Him. If you're able to be back tonight, I would encourage you to do so. When we think about our lives, certainly there are any number of different problems and troubles that we may face from day to day. Some of them may concern things of this life. Some of them may concern attitudes that we have or folks that we struggle with in our workplace or in our school situation. What we're going to look at tonight is simply the subject of solving problems and what the Bible has to say about solving some of those various problems that we might face. And hopefully as we look at those kinds of things, we can learn how God would teach us to apply these principles to our own life situations so we can better overcome those kind of difficulties that we face. Most of you who are here this morning have heard me preach before, and you are well acquainted with the way in which I approach preaching the gospel. Now, while I am certain that there are perhaps a few differences that might occur between myself and some other gospel preacher, there are two ways that I am certain that all of us are just exactly alike. That is, all gospel preachers will try to, number one, urge people to continue in things that they are doing that are good things. Or number two, they will encourage them to abandon things that they might be doing that are bad things. Now, to do this, what we will generally do is we will warn the congregation of consequences for not doing so. And we will urge the congregation to act accordingly. This past week, I did some thinking about this approach and thought that perhaps it was about time to do something a little bit different. This morning, I am not going to urge anyone here to change anything in your life. I'm not going to ask you to abandon any bad thing that you may be doing in your life. I am not going to ask you either to continue in doing something that is good. In fact, I'm going to describe for you this morning a way in which you can be guaranteed that you can receive and enjoy a number of things for doing absolutely nothing concerning your spiritual condition. I mean, you don't have to obey the gospel. You don't have to be baptized or confess Christ. You don't have to attend assemblies of the Lord's church and worship. You don't have to study the Bible. You don't have to pray. You don't have to do anything. You simply have to live and breathe. And this morning, by the time that you leave, I will offer to you a way in which you can be certain that you can receive something for nothing. Now, I have to give you a little bit of a warning, because in order for us to accomplish this morning, we are going to have to look at some biblical passages of Scripture. And if we're going to prove the point that I'm trying to make, we will find it buried in some passages that do actually urge us to do some things or urge us to abandon some things. So if you want to actually come away this morning knowing a way that you can have something for nothing, you may actually have to ignore a few passages of Scripture. But as we do so, I hope that you can still see within our lesson this morning how you can come away achieving something for nothing. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that there are some blessings for unfaithfulness. Look over in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 42 through 48. I'd like us to notice one of the first of these blessings that is to be found for unfaithfulness. The Bible makes it very clear that if you simply live and breathe, if you simply exist upon this earth, don't name the name of Christ, don't obey the gospel, don't do anything that is right, you can be certain that you will receive the benefit of sunshine and rain. Notice here in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43, and we'll go down to verse 48. The text says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Now, a number of these things are advocating principles for those that would serve the Lord. But I want you to notice what it says right here. "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he," notice, "makes his sun rise," listen to this, "on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." Continue reading. "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, those last verses, again, some things that those that would seek to serve the Lord would be interested in. But you'll notice here, verse 45, that whether you are good or evil, whether you are just or unjust, you can have the assurance that you'll be able to enjoy sunshine and rain, the beauty of the world around us. In fact, there's a passage of Scripture we find over in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, that gives us an assurance that we're not going to wake up one day, and because we have been evil or because we've neglected to obey the gospel, that all of a sudden the sun won't shine prior to the end of the world. In fact, this passage says in Genesis 8, verse 22, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." So you can do absolutely nothing in your spiritual life, and you can be assured that you'll be able to enjoy sunshine and enjoy rain. But there's another thing as well that we can be assured of. Look over in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. In the course of preaching, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas came to the city of Lystra. And as they were preaching and had performed some miracles there, some of the people misunderstood what they were about and began to try to sacrifice to them. And in trying to get the people to stop this, I want us to notice for our purposes this morning, not particularly what they were teaching, but I want us to notice simply something that they say about God's benefit to even those that don't care about Him and even those that don't honor Him. Notice in Acts chapter 14, verse 15, and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? That is, why are you trying to sacrifice to us? Why are you trying to treat us like gods? Why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these vain things to the living God who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them." Now again, Paul here is trying to urge them to do something for our purposes this morning. Notice what he goes on to say about what God does to those that don't do anything. "Who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good." Notice here again, gave us rain, just as we noticed there in Matthew chapter 5. Rain and sunshine. "Gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons." Listen to this. "Filling our hearts with food and gladness." We see here this assurance that whether a person has been obedient to the gospel or not, whether they are willing to turn to God away from idolatry or not, that even these in Lystra, even those throughout the whole world, will be able to have certain kinds of pleasures such as food, and their heart will be filled with gladness. So we can do absolutely nothing spiritually and be assured that we can enjoy food and gladness. But let's look a little further. Look over in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Many of you at this place are probably familiar with something that is known of as the parable of the sower. It is one of the most important parables that Jesus teaches. In fact, on one occasion, he told his disciples, "If you don't understand this, how can you understand anything?" In the course of this parable, he describes one who goes about sowing seed, not the way that we would dig a hole and plant a seed in it, but simply dispersing it abroad. And he describes that seed falling upon different types of ground, some of which will spring up quickly, some of which are choked by other kinds of things. And he's not really talking about seed. He's talking about planting of the Word of God and the effect that that has upon people's heart. Now, again, if we're not going to be looking at trying to change ourselves this morning, we simply want to understand what kind of benefits there might come to us if we don't do anything. We can notice something in the explanation that's given here in Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Notice it says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away." I want you to notice verse 14 here. "And the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares." Well, we're not that interested in that, but riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Now, notice here, it's not talking about someone that continues in the Word. It's not talking about someone that allows that to grow within their heart. It's talking about just the person that that Word has been sown upon, that seed has been sown upon, and it doesn't really come to maturity, but they have within their life riches and pleasures. And that seems to suggest to us that whether or not we're obedient to the gospel of Christ or not, there will be those kinds of pleasures that this world has to offer. And there may well be those riches. You know, even if we are the poorest person in this country, we are rich compared to many in the world. And that's true whether we have obeyed the gospel or not. So we can be assured that by doing absolutely nothing spiritually, we can enjoy this kind of thing. In fact, over in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 20, there it says, "The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich man has many friends." You know, all of us want to have friends. We want those that like to be with us. Proverbs 19, verse 4 adds to that by saying, "Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friends." We even have examples in Scripture of this very fact, that those that didn't obey the gospel, those that in fact opposed the things of God, had friends, they had riches. Look at two examples. Herod, for example, one who beheaded John the Baptist, Luke chapter 9, verse 9. Pilate, the one who killed Galileans and mingled their blood with their sacrifice, in Luke 13, verse 1. And yet Luke 22, verse 12, tells us that when they both together participated in the death of Jesus and his condemnation, Luke 23, verse 12 says, "That very day Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for before that they had been at enmity with each other." So they had friends. They were both wicked, evil, sinful men, and yet they had friends. They had power. They had influence. And that was not at all because they were trying to pursue the things of God. So we as well, if we simply live and breathe and go through the things of this life, there will be those kinds of things that will come to us, the enjoyment of the things of this life, friends that will come to us, perhaps because of our wickedness, friends that will come to us, perhaps because of our means and our wealth, and we don't have to do anything spiritually. Look over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Now this one is not a sure thing, because all of us recognize that we live from day to day and don't have an assurance of tomorrow. There can be that freak accident that takes our life. There can be that disease that comes upon us. But you know, when you look at the world around, this old song that was out when I was a kid said, "Only the good die young." And you know, that often seems to be what we witness in this world. The fact that it's not the people that are doing good that live long, but so often it's those people that don't care anything about heaven, don't care anything about spiritual matters. They are the ones that often may live a long life and enjoy the things in this world. In fact, over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and in verse 12, there Solomon, I think, addresses this very fact. I want you to notice what's said, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 15. It says, "I have seen all things in my days of vanity. There is a just man," listen, "who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness." Now, I don't think it's using perish here in the sense of eternal
eternally perishing.
I think it's here talking about his life passing from him, at least under the sun here. He perishes in his righteousness, but look at the wicked man. He prolongs his life in his wickedness. It may well be that if you do absolutely nothing spiritually, you can enjoy, in some cases, barring the accident, barring the disease, you can enjoy a long life. There is absolutely no reason that simply because you forsake the Lord, simply because you refuse to obey the gospel, you can't live a long life upon this earth. Now, of course, we never know when it might be that the Lord will return, and that could bring all of that to an end. But short of that, short of the freak accident, short of the disease, you may well, in your wickedness, enjoy a long life. Let's look at one last area of this, and that has to do with glory and honor. Now, sometimes the one that chooses to do nothing spiritually may actually find that by putting on certain appearances of a spiritual attitude, there are benefits that can come. And the Bible absolutely makes it clear that you don't have to be sincere in your desire to serve the Lord. You don't have to be genuine in your appearance of worship to God to be able to receive some benefits. Look over in Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to notice, first of all, that when it comes to matters of charity, you don't have to really care about anyone. You don't have to really be interested in doing what is right. Sometimes you can just do some charitable deed to be seen by men, and there'll be some benefits. I want you to notice what it said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Now, there the Lord's saying what he wants you to do, but I want you to listen to what he says can happen, whether you do that or not. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites. Now, here's who we're interested in. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, listen to this, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. The Lord, even though here he's saying, you know, here's what I want you to do, here's what I expect you to do, he says there are certain benefits that come. You'll have glory from men in doing it this way, whether you mean to do it for the right reason or not. Look at another example here, just a few verses later, down in verse 6. You can come across with the attitude of sanctity. You can even offer a prayer to God. And you can do it in such a way that whether you have a relationship with Him or not, whether you are in fact a child of God, you can receive some benefits from it. Listen to what it says. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Listen to this, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. These who are seen by men are viewed as great. These are viewed as those that are honorable. And they receive great respect. They don't really believe these things, perhaps. And yet, nonetheless, they receive this benefit. One last example, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. You can put on the appearance of piety. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to, in fact, accept the gospel. But you can just act as if you are depriving yourself of something. And there are benefits that can come to you. Look at what the Lord says. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, again, they appear to men to be fasting, and so they are honored and they receive glory. Now, you probably noticed a little something as we were looking at these last three examples. And that presents a bit of a problem to our preposition, to our proposition this morning, that we can receive something for nothing. Because while it's absolutely true that these things that we've listed, you can neglect obedience to the gospel, you can decide you're not going to have faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and you can be assured that you'll receive these. There's a problem that was alluded to in these last three examples that we looked at. Did you notice that as we were reading, in each of these three examples, it ended with the phrase, they have their reward. Now, the problem is that the fact that life is not enduring. Life here is not enduring. The fact that this world will not go on forever. The fact that at death, all of these things that we've mentioned will be forfeited. That leads us to ask ourselves, well, what good are any of those kinds of blessings if we can, in fact, take them with us? You know, Solomon over in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 18, after, as Lawrence mentioned in one of his lessons, attempted to try to just indulge his heart in every pleasure that man could imagine, he recognizes this kind of problem. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18, he concludes, "Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me." You know, any riches that you attain, you're not going to be able to keep them. This is true of glory. This is true of honor. This is true of pleasures. This is true of the sunshine and the rain that God sends on the just and on the unjust. It's true of all of these things. And it's true because death involves the spiritual side of man. And all of these things that are benefits for doing nothing spiritually, they all have to do with physical things. Well, one might ask the question, is there no spiritual reward then? If I choose to simply be unfaithful, is there no spiritual benefit that will come for doing nothing? Well, the Bible actually points out to us that, yes, there is a reward for unfaithfulness. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul refers to a coppersmith by the name of Alexander. And he says that he had done them much harm. And I want you to listen to what he says. He adds, "May the Lord repay," the Old King James says, "reward him according to his works." Turn with me over, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Here, the Apostle Peter actually expands upon that a little bit and shows us that there are, in fact, wages of unrighteousness. Now, that might be of some interest to us. Because if we choose to simply do nothing spiritually, and yet we want to achieve something, we want to walk away with something from this, if 2 Peter 2 and verse 13 speaks of wages of unrighteousness, then maybe that's some benefit that we can carry with us beyond this life. Let's look at what it says. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning verse 12, and we'll go down to verse 14. It says, "But these," speaking of false teachers, "like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption." Well, that doesn't sound very good so far. Notice verse 13. "And will," here's our word, "receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children." Now, that doesn't sound very good. Notice, these who will receive the wages of unrighteousness will be caught, destroyed. They will perish in their corruption. They are accursed children. The reward for unfaithfulness is eternal punishment and destruction, separation from God, being removed from His presence eternally. Now, as you've noticed, I've approached this lesson this morning a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Because my aim absolutely was not to try to urge anyone who is here for a moment to begin to think that there is any kind of lasting benefit that you could gain from deciding within your heart that you will neglect obedience to the gospel, that you will do nothing spiritually, that you will be apathetic when it comes to the things of God. In fact, what we've attempted to do this morning is to show that if you were to have that approach and to have that attitude and to say within your heart, well, there are things that I can get by simply doing nothing spiritually, I hope that you've seen from what we've clearly outlined this morning that desire and that objective is flawed
because of the fact that all of those blessings that you might attain are so fleeting in nature. But I want to offer to you a little something different as we close our lesson this morning. And that is what the Bible equally tells us about the spiritual blessings. That when death passes, death comes upon us and life passes from our body, there are things that we can carry with us. There are things that we can have and retain, even in the age to come. Look over in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. The same apostle that speaks of the wages of unrighteousness, back at the beginning of this epistle, offers something much better and something much more enduring and something much more appealing. Notice 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us, notice, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice what is described here. Rather than the fleeting nature of those things that we can get for doing nothing spiritually, when we are obedient to the gospel, when we put our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, we can attain all things that pertain to life and godliness. We can escape the corruption that's in this world. Those things that will be burned up when this world comes to an end won't mean a thing to us because we've escaped that and have, in fact, been allowed to be partakers of the divine nature. But notice one final thing. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, we ask the question, are there spiritual blessings that can be found in unfaithfulness? And unfortunately, unless we focus on what we notice there in 2 Peter about the wages of unrighteousness, there just aren't any benefits that come. But there are benefits that are to be found in a very specific place. And that is to be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The apostle begins a section talking about the great things that God has done by telling us this, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And we could probably talk all morning about what those spiritual blessings could entail. Eternal life. Freedom from death, freedom from pain, freedom from that aching hunger of desire that's all a part of this life. Every spiritual blessing is found in Christ. Well, this morning, I hope that as you think about these things, perhaps if you've had the misconception that somehow you could just skate by in this life and you thought that you don't really need to do anything and everything's still going to be all right, you don't really need to do anything and you're still going to come out okay, I hope that you've seen that you can't take even those blessings that you can get for doing nothing with you. But if you this morning would put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, confess that faith before men, repent and turn away from sin in your life, confess Jesus before men and be baptized into Christ, you will find yourself in that state, in that condition in which every spiritual blessing is to be found. If as a child of God, you've named the name of Christ, but you've turned to the world, and you've begun to do nothing spiritually, and you've forfeited your relationship with the Lord, you have a wondrous benefit as long as life is within your lungs to be able to confess that and to be able to turn back. And in the same way that we describe the fate of those that would do absolutely nothing spiritually to begin with, please be assured and recognize that if you abandon your faith in Jesus Christ and turn back to the world, you can expect nothing more than that. Would you not, while we stand and sing, turn to the Lord?